For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Tuesday, April 16th, and we are here to chat WWE NXT. And we had a pretty interesting show today. It was, we had the headline match being Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes in that steel cage match. And then we're heading into spring break, which is taking place next week, as well as the next week after. And there are some storylines that, well, for one, are looking like they are completely wrapped up. And then there are some other storylines where we finally got some answers because we kind of had some questions to them. So there's quite a bit to get into on today's show. There were two matches on today's card where I did not like what ended up happening at the end, and I can't wait to get into those two here. But we had some good stuff though overall. I actually can't wait to get into this episode of NXT. But before we get started with all of that, I want to thank everybody who is here right now and let you guys all know that this channel has officially surpassed 150,000 subscribers. So thank you so much to everybody here who supports this channel. I think now I'm super close to actually hitting 153,000. So WrestleMania content has done very well here on the channel. I'm so stoked about that. This weekend on Sunday, I will be flying out to St. Louis and I will be at AEW Dynasty. So there is going to be tons of AEW content coming to you this week. So overall, just keeping the content coming here on the channel and hopefully getting to that 200K mark by the end of the year. And I say hopefully with a capital H-O-P-E. F-U-L-L-Y. I don't know why I'm thinking of a W right now. You know why I'm thinking of a W? Because I'm trying to get the freaking win here. Anyways, I'm very tired today because I got a lot of sun today. So there you go. That's what's going on. Got a lot of sun today. all right, we got some super chats to get into, guys. Sheldon Jackson here sends in 5 DWO memberships. Thank you so much, Sheldon. I appreciate that so freaking much. He also sends in a super chat saying, your fact of the week. Here we go. I ask for these all the time. Your fact of the week. A member of the Shield was a world champion for 1,499 days, starting with Mox at AEW Revolution 2020 and ending at WrestleMania 40 Night 2. Then Mox becomes IWGP World Champion 5 days later. So we saw not only Roman Reigns, obviously, as champion, but we also saw Jon Moxley as champion and Seth Rollins as champion. Damn, the freaking Shield out here making sure that they leave their mark in the pro wrestling business. Sheldon, thank you so much, as always, for the fun facts. We got Stephen Marchulli here who says that Tatum Pagley says, wow, I cannot talk today. Tatum Paxley segment of the show. Dude, it was honestly one of my favorite parts of the show. I cannot wait to talk about Tatum. We got Steven here who says, I see Roxanne cheating and sneaking in and getting the pin in the women's triple threat match next week. I missed the Raw watch-alongs already. I know. I'm still posting reactions, by the way. If for those of you who want to see reactions, I still post reactions over on Instagram. So there, it's a little bit easier to do because it's just easier to film my reactions as I'm watching the show. But it's easier because when I edit them, I already have the video up on the stream. So when I was doing my live watch-alongs on YouTube, I couldn't show the Raw broadcast. And so I had to take forever to like edit the video, to sync up the video, which was a goddamn nightmare, guys. Like I hated trying to sync my reactions to the video. It was horrible. I hated having to do that. And so now I basically have the video up. So when I actually edit the little shorts together, it's so much easier to share my reaction. So I have found that doing it the way that I'm doing it now is a lot easier for shorts and clips and stuff like that. But of course, I do miss doing the watch-alongs, but I'll be doing sporadic ones as well. Sam Pai Boone says, will you do live streamings of the WWE draft on April 26th and 29th? Well, I know a lot of people have been wanting that, so I'm definitely considering it. I'll probably make an official announcement if I do decide to do it, probably after Dynasty, because right now my brain is just not in WWE draft mode. So once we get to the week of, then I will make an announcement on Twitter as to whether or not I'm doing a watch along for that. But since a lot of people have been asking, then I think I should probably do it. So it's a good thing that people are asking. We have Jay Stone here who says, shout out to Javon Evans, the young OG. Pleasant surprise to see HBK give him the opportunity against Ilya. I feel like that was Ilya's best match in a while, and Lola keeps getting better every week. So Javon Evans versus Ilya Dragunov, which we'll get to in just a second, ended up being a really fun match. The crowd was super into it. We had this was awesome chance. And because like nobody expected this match either, like nobody went into today's episode of NXT thinking that we were going to see 19-year-old Javon Evans go out there and wrestle Ilya Dragunov. But because, again, like Ilya, like that's the thing about Ilya. We just want to see him wrestle and wrestle whoever, right? And wrestling this young kid who literally, this was his second match on NXT, it was kind of fun because, again, it's not a match that we have seen. And we have talked about this so many times, how we've been needing so many more new faces for the guys over on the NXT side of things. And obviously, Javon is very, very young, but he's one of the new faces that is going to be coming up. And from the looks of it, he's gotten a really good start on the NXT brand. So we'll talk more about that in a second. And apologies to everybody. My head is just in a bunch of different places today. I went to this morning, I went to the Grove over in LA, and there was a Taylor Swift exhibit. But damn, I got so much freaking sun being there. And I'm sure most of you have had this experience, but when you get a lot of sun, it makes you so freaking tired. And so I like got so much freaking sun, it's got into my head and I can feel it because I'm like, damn, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. What the hell is going on? So if you have felt that way before, you know exactly what I'm feeling right now. So I kind of regret getting as much sun as I did. It was a hot day today. But anyways, Sass Gregor says, sorry to hear about your 99-cent store closing. So by the way, that 99-cent store is so close to my house. I used to cross the street and literally go and just like buy like little random stuff, right? And so it's going out of business and I was so disappointed, but I walked in and they were having like a massive sale and I bought my favorite pens ever because it's very difficult to find the pens that I really, really love. I'm very, very picky with my pens and that 99-cent store has my favorite freaking pens. So I'm like, oh, I need to grab these. I got a 3-pack of my favorite pens for 80 cents, guys. 80 cents. When is the last time you purchased anything for 80 cents? This isn't an ad, but I'm legitimately so freaking stoked that I paid 80 cents for a 3-pack of my favorite freaking pens ever. You can't even get chips nowadays, not even the little tiny bag of chips. I'm talking the little tiny ones. You can't even get those for 80 cents nowadays. Damn, I don't even know if you can get gum for 80 cents anymore. So the fact that I was able to get a 3-pack of my favorite freaking pens for 80 cents was like the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me at all. And thank you. A lot of people know about the sun exhaustion. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling it today. So that's why I'm a little bit all over the place. But let's get to the show, guys. Let's get to NXT. And I might as well kick things off with the steel cage match since that's what closed out the show. We had Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes. And this one, you know, I kind of have a little bit of some mixed emotions for this steel cage match. Like part of me enjoyed it. So I definitely enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I definitely enjoyed it. But part of me was sort of expecting a more explosive finish. When the finish actually came, I was honestly still expecting maybe like 5 more minutes of this match where I kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. And so it kind of took me aback that I wasn't really expecting the finish to come right like so fast as it did. And so I feel bad because even though I enjoyed this match, I didn't feel that there was anything in the steel cage match that really justified this feud that we have been having with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, where it has been so personal because they're brothers, because they're, very, very close friends. And so given that, I think I was expecting just a little bit more coming out of the steel cage match, where instead the steel cage match didn't feel like this was a match between two guys that had such a long history that came in together to have this match. I was expecting a lot more. I think had they not had this vast story, I would have been like, great, fine, cool steel cage match. But given the vast story between Trick and Carmelo, I was definitely expecting more within the steel cage match. However, I did like, honestly, once they replayed the finish again, I did like that knee that Trick Williams gave to Carmelo with the chair. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like watching the replay, it hit a little harder, but again, it just didn't have that moment that you get right before the finish where you're thinking like, oh, we're almost there. We're almost there. We're about to get there. It didn't feel like that to me, where instead it was like, oh, finish. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, match is over. And I was like, oh, okay. The match is over. But Trick Williams, again, getting the victory over Carmelo Hayes. He is going on to spring break, and as we all know, to face Ilya Dragunov for the NXT Championship. And also, we talked about this last week, but there's a specific stipulation heading into this matchup, and it is that if Trick Williams loses, he is gone from NXT. Now, we talked about the draft because that's coming up, and that's coming up right after spring break-in. So spring break-in is on the 23rd, and the first night of the draft is that Friday of that week. So we have a couple of days. Now, I think everybody here is expecting for Trick Williams to win the NXT Championship and to see Ilya Dragunov get drafted again, because he already said that he was going to be part of the draft. And the way that this is playing out with the timing of everything, it sort of gives it this perfect opportunity where it's like, okay, Trick Williams has this moment. Ilya Dragunov defeats him. He's free and clear of being NXT champion, and therefore he's good to go to get drafted over on the main roster. Unless they just like freaking swerve us and it ends up being Trick Williams, which of course, because Trick Williams is super hot right now, it wouldn't be such a bad idea. But at the same time, I think we need him more on NXT right now. So again, expecting Ilya Dragunov to lose the championship on night one of spring break. And so I feel like the way that everything is lining up, it's making a lot more sense that that is what's going to happen. And they've officially finished off this feud between Carmelo and Trick. Like, I don't think they should revisit this until, if they ever decide to do it, maybe way down the line. But as of right now, we have wiped our hands clean of it and they are done. He's beating the man twice. Carmelo has tried. He tried a whole lot of different ways to beat Trick Williams here tonight, and it did not happen. So that feud is done, my friends. I at least hope so, because I know that sometimes NXT can go a little past their expiration dates with certain matches, and we'll keep getting them over and over. So at least with this, it feels like that's it. This is done. But once Trick Williams becomes champion, and if Carmelo Hayes is still on the brand, it's going to feel a little weird. So part of me hopes that Carmelo Hayes also gets drafted. That way he moves on to a whole other universe over on the main roster, and Trick Williams can do his thing as NXT champion without these distractions. Because if Carmelo Hayes remains on the NXT brand and Trick Williams wins the title, we're all going to want to see, okay, well, how is Carmelo Hayes going to react to now seeing this guy as NXT champion? Because that has been the whole thing. He's been jealous of him. That's been the whole story, that he has been jealous of Trick Williams. So now when he actually sees Trick Williams with the gold, so part of me kind of hopes that we do see Carmelo Hayes get drafted over to Raw or SmackDown. And we've seen him have a couple of SmackDown matches, and I think he's done everything he could over on NXT. It will be a huge loss for NXT, but I think the time is now, guys. Cue the John Cena song. The time is now. We got a couple of super chats here. This is from, oh, okay, I can't wait for this. Sheldon Jackson says, also, oh no, he says, also, JC Jane, I tried, but I'm officially all out on her couch. I don't know what she's doing at all, but Gigi and Ariana Grace, I'm intrigued by. All right, Sheldon, you know what? this has been like a year long thing. And for a whole year, I've been telling you to just give JC Jane a chance. And it seems like you definitely did. And it still hasn't happened for you. I don't blame you, because here's the thing. Like, I think they really had something there with JC Jane and Thea Hale, with the whole, you know, mean best friend breaking her heart, mean girl bait breaking the heart of this good girl that we all love in Thea Hale. I think they really had a story there. And for some reason, it just feels like we didn't get all that we could get out of it. It feels like we got a really nice tease, and then that was it. It was very quick. It almost happened right before our eyes. Now, there's still this story is still ongoing. Like, this is still happening between JC Jane and Thea Hale. Like, she just costed her a match here today, because we still need to get that one-on-one match. And maybe that'll persuade you. But I kind of feel like they have not been going as hard as they could with this story. It started off very, very intriguing. And it kind of feels like they have slowed down a little bit. I feel like they could have had JC Jane be meaner. I feel like they could have had just more friction there between Thea and JC Jane. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. Malik Black says, who do you think is going to NXT during the draft? Well, definitely Ilya Dragunov. That's one. Carmelo Hayes is the other one that I do hope goes over. There's part of me, like, I'm expecting to see if I'm going to go with any woman that I would think would go to the main roster right now. Surprisingly, I would say Lyra Valkyria. Lyra Valkyria, for some reason, is the person that I would name over from the women's side that I would probably expect to see get called up. And that's sort of the extent of it all. Like, I'm not out here wanting to see like 10 people get called up, right? So those would be the few names that I'm thinking of here. Jay Stone says, love Trick and Mello, but they don't have good in-ring chemistry. Both matches were just all right, but great opportunity for both of them, especially Trick. So that was definitely a criticism that I had seen. So prior to Stand and Deliver, as many of you guys know, I watched the show a couple of days late, and there was talk that the main event was not that good. Now, I didn't think the main event sucked when I watched it, but I also didn't agree that it lived up to the built, to the hype that it had going in. And then I kind of felt like the steel cage match was supposed to be the match that maybe, I don't know, maybe having a steel cage would add to it. But there was something missing. And I felt it in the Stand and Deliver match, and I felt it in the steel cage match. Now, I'm not really sure what the thing is that it's missing, but again, given the story, given all of the investment in it, everything that they did, the way that they promoted this match, I don't think that either match, neither the one at Stand and Deliver nor the one here tonight, really met those expectations. Again, not bad, but because of the build, it just wasn't as strong as I think it should have been, or most of us probably expected it to be. I don't know what it was, though. Ryan Lambert says, Denise, you should buy the 99-cent store and run it. Bro, I would have the best 99-cent store ever, let me tell you. We would have themes, really great sales. I would probably go out of business with my really great sales. But yeah, that would be funny. Ryan Lambert, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, let's keep it going, guys. So I hate to kind of go, you know what? I'm going to skip the Tony D stuff. I'm going to skip it and come back to it. I was going to go to it next, but I don't feel like talking about that right now. Let's go into Sol Ruka and Lola Vice. Sol Ruka and Lola Vice, you guys know, I said this last week. This right here, this is my match. Like, this was the match that I feel was made specifically for me, because I am obsessed with both of these girls, and they are so incredibly different. Such different styles. Sol Ruka is more of this, like, gymnast, athletic type of competitor. And then you have Lola Vice with her MMA background. She goes out there, she hits her strikes, and that's more of her thing, right? Two totally different styles. And I liked it because this match wasn't like, how do I explain it? both of these girls, it was interesting because I didn't know who was going to win. Like, I really felt like it could have gone any direction because both of them are sort of doing different stories, and this kind of helped both of their stories out, which I did like. And they're going in different directions. But what I did like about this, though, was that each of them had the opportunity and had the chance to show how different their styles were in this matchup. And if it wasn't for the interference from Blair Davenport, who knows what the outcome would have came about here. So I felt like this match was really, again, it was not so much about Soruka versus Lola Vice. It was more so about the stories that these girls are both doing separately. And with that, Blair Davenport basically pulled the ropes when Soruka was going to do her cartwheel into a DDT spot that we saw last week. That was very freaking cool. She was going for it again, but Blair again pulled the ropes and she falls. So Lola takes advantage of that, gets her with a kick. 1, 2, 3. She wins the match. And immediately after this, Lola Vice gets confronted via the video screen that Natty, who last week Lola Vice costed her match against Roxanne Perez, the screwy Natty. And so Natty comes on the screen and she tells her, like, we're going to put this to test and we're going to put this on your, this is going to be essentially on your turf. And so they're going to do the first ever women's NXT Underground match. Now, I'm conflicted, guys, because I have not enjoyed any of the underground matches that we've seen, not the ones on Raw, not the ones on NXT. They have not been a hit for me. So part of me is thinking, like, oh, when Natty announced NXT Underground, I know everybody was like, yay, NXT Underground. My first thought was, damn, I don't want to see that. Two, then I thought, wait a minute, we haven't had any women do an NXT Underground match. And that's when I started thinking, huh, maybe you might actually enjoy this. Because again, we've talked so much about the presentation of the women on NXT. I don't got to get into that again. But because it's Natty, and again, because Lola does come from this MMA background and we know what kind of wrestler Natty is, I do think that those two dynamics are going to be pretty cool. Again, I'm going to just save my feelings about this until we actually see it. But I'm not totally in the dumps about it. I'm not in the dumps about it all. I'm actually hopeful that this will be very entertaining. And I just don't want it to turn out like all of the other NXT undergrounds and the Raw undergrounds. And oh, I was just not a fan of any of that. So hopefully this one turns out to be a lot better. So anyways, that's the Lola Natty portion of it that came off of this match. We also have the Soruka Blair portion of this. And very simple, we're going to get a no DQ match between Soruka and Blair Davenport. So this should be fun. And that's happening, I think that's happening on spring break. And I think they announced it already, but whatever. I'm assuming that's happening at NXT spring break. And that one there. So again, this wasn't so much so Soruka versus Lola Vice. This was more so just to carry both of their stories forward again in these different directions. Because again, both Soruka and Lola Vice are in the climbing phase of their NXT career. So anyways, I was still a fan because I'm rooting for both of them. So I was kind of happy that things worked out for both of them. All right. We got John Deller here who says, meant from the main roster to NXT. Oh, you're going backwards, bro. Main roster to NXT? So I don't know. I think NXT is NXT included in this draft. I know that Ava Raine was like chatting it up with Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce, but I don't know if NXT is actually included in this draft. Have they said this? Did I miss it? Is NXT included in this draft? Let me know in the chat, guys, because I'm not entirely too sure. But, oh, people are saying yes. Oh, okay, that changes things. Holy shit. I can see the first people that came to mind. Maybe Otis. I can see Otis going over to NXT. I can see Otis. I can see Tozawa. Not Chad Gable, though, so I don't know if they would break up Alpha Academy. I don't know if we've gotten all that we can get out of Alpha Academy. I'm trying to think who else is sort of on that, like, weird they already did AOP and Karrion Kross. Like, AOP and Karrion Kross are already on NXT, so I'm assuming they're staying there, and they definitely needed to be there. Definitely not Angel and Humberto. They just got back up to the main roster, and now they're doing a whole, they're doing their whole thing now, so not them, but had it been the other way. I kind of hate to say this, but I hope they send Apollo Crews back to NXT because he was doing way better in NXT. So send Apollo Crews back to NXT. Cameron Grimes, I don't want to say send him back to NXT, but part of me is like, maybe they should send him back to NXT again because they haven't done anything with him. There's also Ashanti the Adonis. I can see them sending him over to NXT. I would say Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae, back to NXT, Maxine Dupree, NXT. There's quite a few that I would say over back to NXT. That's where I'm at on that one there, guys. Odyssey Jones, I don't even know where they're having Odyssey Jones. Like, what's Odyssey Jones up to? He got drafted, didn't he? Or is he injured? I don't even know anymore, guys. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of who else would be another one. Cedric. Yeah, Cedric I would have over on the NXT side of things. Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross would be phenomenal back on NXT. Obviously, she's had a long history in NXT, but she's another one. Meechan. Damn. Meechan is so good, but she hasn't really gotten so much of an opportunity over on the main roster. She would also be... No, I would keep her. I would keep her on the main roster because we have a lot of girls on NXT, and I don't feel like we need as many girls. I think they can keep Meechan over on the main roster. Xia Li, I forgot Xia Li was even part of the roster. Shit. And then Omos. I don't know what's going on with Omos, man. They haven't done anything with him, but I don't feel like he would fit in right now over on NXT. Like, they got Von Wagner, big guy. They got Obafemi, big guy. They got AOP, two big guys. I feel like they don't need more big guys over on NXT, but there we go. That's where we're at with that. Anyways, thank you so much for sending in that super chat. We got Tim Weininger Jr. in the house who says, in my opinion, Trick needs to stay in NXT. He needs more work on his in-ring. I definitely think he's staying in NXT. Yes, I definitely think he's staying there, and he will get more experience as champion, having these championship main event type matches, as well as leading the brand. So he's basically going to get like thrown in there the second he wins that NXT championship. But again, he is connecting with the crowd. Also, Pierre here says, give me Nikki versus Tatum. Yo, I like where your mind is going. I'm actually here for that. Tony also brings up Wendy Chu. I don't know how much longer Wendy Chu is going to be out for. I have no idea what's going on with Wendy Chu. Miss her. Don't care where we see her as long as we see her back at some point. Jinder Mahal, guys. Jinder, he was on NXT for a bit, and then he went back to the main roster. Oh, man, I give up on some of these people. I just don't know anymore. All right, so let's press on from here because we got to get into some more items here. All right, let me go back to the Tony D stuff. All right. Oh, God. Damn it. Guys, I'm not feeling this one. That's why I wanted to skip it. I wanted to skip this one. I really did because I'm feeling sort of out of the loop here with the family and the No Quarter Catch crew. Now, I'm just going to be real. I am not a fan of the No Quarter Catch crew. Because they haven't done anything to make me a fan yet. I've given them a chance. I'm like Sheldon Jackson out here giving people chances. I gave the No Quarter crew a chance, but they haven't won me over just yet. I want to see them. And I say this, I'm going to say it again. Damon Kemp, to me, feels like a hidden gem. I think he's a hidden gem based on the brief period that we got to see of him sort of doing his own thing. He might not be fully polished. Okay, I get it. It's developmental. But it feels like right now, him being part of the No Quarter Catch crew is sort of like just holding him down. Like holding him down. And I feel like they could sort of explore him again as a singles competitor. And that's what I'm more so interested. Every time I see the No Quarter Catch Crew, that is the first thing that comes into my head where I'm like, we're just like trapping Damon Kemp and all of this. Let's have him return back to singles competition. But anyways, so the No Quarter Catch Crew, apparently the family helped them out. I don't even remember this, guys. And I watched the weekly programming. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. I don't get this storyline. I'm sort of out. I feel like a little bit out of the loop with this specific storyline. But they did a favor for them. Someone please remind me what the hell that favor was. They did a favor for them. They literally are not seen eye to eye, though, even though apparently this favor was done. And Charlie gets in his face, calls Tony D a scumbag, and this leads to them both, to both teams fighting it out. Okay. I don't know what else to add to this. I have nothing else to add on this. Okay. See, this is what I was thinking. And I hate that my brain went this way, but clearly I was not the only person. We got a couple people here that said they whacked Drew Gulak. To write off Drew Gulak off TV. That was my assumption. And I'm like, is that the story here? Is the story here that they got rid of Drew Gulak? Is he swimming with the fishes now? That was my assumption of this. But again, I wasn't entirely sure. Clearly, I was not the only person thinking this. Because as we all know, we've all seen the news between Drew Gulak and Ronda Rousey and what Ronda Rousey said Drew Gulak did. And the explanation that he gave was just, it was not a good explanation. He would have been better off not saying anything because that explanation was very, very poor. Anyways, so Drew Gulak did not come out with them, right? He did not come out with them here tonight. So that was my assumption that maybe they got rid of him for him in storyline basis. He's out there swimming with the freaking fishes. So if that's the case, okay, cool. That explains this whole thing. But again, it sort of just did not come out as too clear. And so for that reason, I was sitting there the whole time going, is it the Drew Gulak thing or is it something else? What am I forgetting that happened on the show between them? Anyways, I want to see the Heritage Cup over with the family. Because Tony D didn't win the NXT championship. He lost against Ilya. I don't know if he's ever going to be NXT champion. I have no idea. But at some point, it's going to feel like they need to have something, right? Because Tony D is out here saying he's going to be the Don of NXT. There's only so many times that you can say this and actually get something out of it. And I actually think it would be comedy gold to see the family with the Heritage Cup. So I'm rooting for the family. I'm rooting for Tony D to get his hands on the Heritage Cup. And maybe I'll finally be interested in it. But anyways, I just felt out of the loop. Felt completely out of the loop with this story here. Anyways, TJ Smooth says Gulak is with two dimes now. RIP. Oh my God. It's kind of funny though that they have this act on NXT that can easily just like that get rid of a character just like that. And we don't even need we don't even need the details. We just know, okay, they got rid of him, swimming with the fishes, moving on. Oh my God. My goodness. And yes, by the way, John Deller points out that Drew Gulak hasn't been coming out with them for the last 2 weeks. Anyways, that's the story there, and I hope that it gets interesting fast. All right, we're moving on from this, and I want to get into something that was definitely interesting, and I'm so freaking stoked about this, and that is the Tatum Paxley video package. So, we finally got this answered, everyone. We were wondering what Tatum's obsession with Lyra was. Was she in love with her? Was this going to turn into HLA? We talked about this. We had no idea what was going to happen here. Well, she clarified that she was in love with Lyra, but she was in love with her for reasons that are totally different. And we talked about this last week because the one thing that changed between when Tatum was obsessed with Lyra and when she was no longer obsessed with Lyra was the title. The second that Lyra lost the title, Tatum lost interest. And from that moment on, it became clear that it was the NXT Women's Championship that was keeping Tatum in awe. And today they did this phenomenal video package. Like, I'm all about the emo girls, guys. Like, I love me the dark girls with the black clothing and the freaking piercings and the all of that. Are you kidding me? That is my cup of tea right there. So Tatum going out there all evil and creepy, like that's her thing. But in this video package, she's out there playing with dolls. And there's something so creepy about an older girl playing with dolls. But she's not playing them with them like she's childish. She's playing with them like she's sick in the head, right? Like she's messing with the dolls, almost like she imagines them as her sort of like her enemies. Like this, like when I'm chopping this doll's hair off, I'm thinking of Lyra Valkyria, or I'm thinking of all of these bad girls that did not like me. Or what was she saying? She was saying about the cool girls. The cool girls didn't let her in. The cool girls didn't want to play with Tatum Paxley. They didn't want nothing to do with Tatum Paxley. I loved this. The creepy, dark girl shit. I am into this. This is all me right here. This is my genre. And so anyways, she kind of recaps the champion. She talks about how much she loves the NXT Women's Champion and how that's why she was basically out there supporting Lyra, because Lyra was this good girl. Lyra was the champion. Lyra was everything Tatum Paxley wanted to be. And that's why she was so obsessed with her. And so now that she's no longer champion, there's no reason to be obsessed with Lyra Valkyria. And once she lost the title, she broke Tatum's heart. And I loved this. I love this explanation. I love her being obsessed with the title. I just love the way that this is all coming together. So we learned, by the way, we learned this later on, but I'll just mention it now, is that we are going to be getting a triple threat match. We're getting a triple threat match between Tatum Paxley, Roxanne Perez, and Lyra Valkyria at Spring Break-In for the NXT Championship. Now, this should be fun. Of course, expecting Roxanne to retain. I think Tatum Paxley and Lyra are going to basically be freaking the ones going at it the most with each other in this match. And that's going to allow Roxanne to essentially, reap the benefits of that. So, oh, this was so good, guys. And Tatum just being obsessed with the belt. Oh, I love that so much. But I might as well get into the portion with what happened there with Thea Hale and Tatum Paxley, because Tatum Paxley had a match against Thea Hale. And she ends up winning this match because Jasmine Nix and JC Jane get involved. JC Jane comes out and sweeps the leg of Thea Hale. The referee doesn't see it, so Tatum's able to capitalize on that and get the victory. Cool. So she wins this match. But after she wins this match, she's attacked by Lyra Valkyria. Now, here's what I like about Lyra and what we've been seeing from her ever since she lost the title. What I love about her since she lost the title is that she's sort of been this mad woman, like this loose cannon. Like all of a sudden, like remember when Roxanne was the angry one? Roxanne was the angry one heading into Stand and Deliver. She was angry because she didn't have that championship. Now, Lyra is the one that's getting ugly and angry and wanting to fight people when she has one arm. And now she's going out there and attacking Tatum because she's pissed. And we haven't seen this side of Lyra before. When she was champion, she was this dignified champion. She was so poised and, oh, I'm the champion and I bring honor and respect to this bout. Well, now that she's not champion, she is pissed and she's angry at the people that screwed her, not in the same way that Roxanne was, but in her own way. So I love what we're seeing there with Tatum and Lyra and how this is all going into the triple threat match at Spring Break-In. And there's really not much else to add about Thea Hale and JC Jane and Jasmine Nix that we've already spoken about. But she's back on good terms with Andre Chase. That's what we need to know. And then secondly, we're still seeing this continue between JC and Thea, which again makes sense because we have not had that one-on-one match. But like I said earlier, it did feel like they kind of slowed down a little bit with the story, where I do think that they could, I think JC Jane could be meaner. That's what I'm gonna say. JC Jane can be meaner to Thea Hale, and Thea Hale can be like, you know, the way she is. But anyways, that's what we saw with the women's title picture on that end of things. All right, so let's see what we got here. We got Tim Weininger Jr. who says, sounds like the family took out Gulak. Yeah, that's the only thing that would make sense here. Malik Black says, Tatum nothing but a gold digger for the title. It's true. She's a gold digger. I literally wrote that down in my notes. I thought of the same exact joke. She's a gold digger in like the literal sense of being a gold digger. Yes. Steven says, who does Roxanne feud with after the triple threat? Oh, she's got so many options. I think it should be Fallon. I'm rooting for Fallon a whole lot. She's such a good baby face. I think it should be Fallon. Fallon's one. She can also, I would like to see Gigi Dolin at some point, especially with whatever comes off of this whole Ariana Grace thing. And we might as well get into that, by the way. This was very fun. This was so much fun. So this is basically, as we've been knowing for the last couple of weeks, Ariana has sort of wanted to give Georgina, which is, that's what she's calling her, Georgina. She's been wanting to give Georgina this pageant queen makeover. And she wants to make her into a lady. She doesn't like her with all that dark stuff and that makeup and piercings and the way she dresses, right? She doesn't like it. And so Ariana is taking her to become this pageant queen. And she takes her dress shopping today. And she picks this like really ugly green dress. And nice, decent color, but the dress was just very ugly. Like, it was not cute. And she gives it to Gigi. Gigi goes into the dressing room and she shimmies it up and she comes out and she completely remade the dress and she made it very edgy, very cool. And basically, Ariana's like appalled by this and she still ends up having to pay for the dress. And so I think this is going to turn into this like lovable story. I don't know, but Ariana is comedy gold, guys. She is making what could honestly be a stinker into something very, very enjoyable to see. I think she just gets it. She honestly gets it. She's so much fun. And Gigi, this is bringing so much to Gigi Dolin, because that's been another person that a lot of people have been asking over the past couple of months, like, what's going on with Gigi? We haven't seen anything with her. And I'm like, I don't know. Nothing's happened. Like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, they've sort of explored different things with her. She went from Toxic Attraction to basically feuding with JC, having her story about her home life as part of the story. And then from there, we just didn't see anything at all. And she was just kind of on the show, but she wasn't no longer featured as much anymore. And so now this whole thing with her and Ariana, because they're so polar opposite, it's sort of bringing this new life to Gigi, where all of a sudden it's like, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued as to, is Gigi going to change, or is she gonna, you know, further embrace who she is? Like, what's going to happen here with the story? Like, is she going to change? Is she not going to change? Are her and Ariana going to end up hating each other's guts, or are they going to become this odd couple best friend? Part of me wants them to become this odd couple best friend. I'm sort of more interested in seeing them have this friendship because they're so freaking different. And I kind of want to see what that would look like. I feel like throughout the years in pro wrestling, we've seen a lot of odd couples as tag teams, and sometimes it just works. Sometimes people just have a chemistry together, even if they're so different. And right now, it's clicking with Ariana and Gigi. It really is clicking. And I think that they can pursue that a little bit further until, you know, they find something else for Gigi and Ariana to do. But for the meantime, I don't think it hurts for them to do this. Plus, also, I almost wanted that with Fallon and Tiffany Stratton. Remember when they were doing that whole thing where Fallon was the farm girl and Tiffany Stratton was the city girl, and she was out there working in her farm? Part of me wanted to see them become friends too, because again, so different. And we didn't get that. So now I'm kind of hoping for it with Gigi and Ariana. So I'm looking forward to that a whole freaking lot. That's fun stuff, man. Yeah, Zeno Hour says the same thing. They're going to become a beloved odd couple tag team. I love it. Such good stuff there. All right, so let's go ahead and get into some of these other topics that we haven't touched on. Noam Dar versus Dijak. This was one of the matches that I did not like the way that it ended, because Dijak right now has a lot going for him. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Right now, he has become one of the most interesting dudes on the roster besides Trick Williams and Carmelo and Ilya. Dijak has sort of climbed up those rankings in terms of just being interesting on the show. And I will say this, and if you guys think of somebody else, please let me know in the comments. But off the top of my head, it feels like Dijak has had the very best main roster to NXT experience. I think Dijak has honestly had the best. Like, he's gone out there and made himself different again, made himself interesting, made people care about him. On top of that, his social media game is definitely up there. He's utilizing social media to get himself over. People are interested in him on the show. I'm trying to think if there's somebody else that had a better main roster to NXT journey. I don't know. I don't think so. Is he really calling people dijaculators? Is he really calling people dijaculators? I had not seen that. If that is true, that is hilarious. That's amazing. Someone points out Mandy Rose. And yes, I did think Mandy. Mandy was the other person that I was thinking of. Again, but for the guys, for sure, Dijak. For sure, Dijak for the guys. For sure, for the women, Mandy. Unfortunately, because of the way things turned out, you know, it is what it is. But honestly, they're not even Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin, I would put him second. Baron Corbin, NXT has done so much better for him, right? But I do think that Dijak has had a better go at it, especially, again, because of the way he's utilized social media. Dijaculators. I can't. I am now considering myself a Dijaculator. All right, so with all that being said, what I wanted to get at with this whole thing was that I thought Dijak should have won this match. I feel like they have something here. I did not think that Noam Dar should have defeated Dijak. I mentioned all of those positives right now by Dijak, but he's also coming off of that really awesome match at Stand and Deliver, which was the best match on the card. I'm sorry. This needed to be Dijak for the win here. But anyways, and I had a feeling, by the way, I had a feeling that they were going to have Noam Dar win. I had a freaking feeling. Part of me was like, no, I don't think they'll do it. But I had a feeling and they went with that. So it was what it was. Of course, he had some help. By the way, he did have some help and he won this match. But I thought it was the wrong call to have Dijak lose. But whatever. All right. So another wrong call. This is the other wrong call that I did not like. Ridge Holland versus Joaquin Wilde. Damn. I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying so hard to get into this Ridge Holland storyline. I'm not feeling it. I feel like they're trying to make you feel sorry for him. And in that way, you have to like root for him. And I don't want to root for someone that I'm supposed to be feeling sorry for. And so for that reason, I'm just not giving a damn about the Ridge Holland story. Now, here's the thing. Joaquin Wilde, I've said this, has been freaking killing it. The LWO has been doing everything in their power to get some good attention, to get some good buzz. Joaquin Wilde has been going out there and being so damn impressive, but they had him go out there, make the match interesting, and then lose. Just lose. And I knew that's what it was going to be. Everyone knew that's what it was going to be, but sometimes I just don't want it to be that way. Sometimes you're just more interested in the other guy. And that's kind of how I felt. So I kind of thought it was a little lame to have Joaquin Wilde lose. But that was his role in that match. And that's what I knew his role was going to be in that match. And I knew it going into it. I knew it was going to happen. And still it bummed me out. Bummed me out. Joaquin Wilde did very good in that match, by the way. I want to point that out. There are some good moments there. All right, moving on from this. We had AOP versus Malik Blade and Idris Anofi. This one was another one that everybody watching knew how it was going to play out. But in this case, it worked out. Why? Because, let's be real, guys. AOP, the final testament, they need a saving grace, guys. And NXT could be that saving grace for them. We are hoping that NXT is the place where they actually become a cool faction, where people actually care. So hopefully it happens for them. So even though you guys know I'm a Malik Black, Idris Anofi fan, Malik Blade, Idris Anofi fan, you guys know it. I've been rooting for them for the longest freaking time. For the longest freaking time, because they're so good as a team. So good as a team. They got squashed. But I'm okay with it because AOP needed this. AOP really, really needed this. So even though it was a squash and it wasn't even a good one, they needed this. So this was the situation where they made the right call, the right choice with this matchup. But I hope they run this back, by the way. I hope they run this back and let it actually be a match. Let it be like what Nathan Frazier and Axiom versus Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin was. Let it be what that was with Malik, Idris, and AOP. Please, let it happen. We'll see. Oh, man. That's where we're at. Before I move on to our next topic here, friendly reminder that I will be back tomorrow with Righteous Reg. And we're going to be talking all things AEW Dynamite. Friday, I will be here with Robin Lundberg, by the way, a new co-host. He just did his official debut on last Friday's post show. I hope you guys are enjoying what we brought with that show. Totally different from what Reg and I do, but I love to bring in, I love that I'm able now to bring in people into the podcast and so that we can have, you know, different opinions and different fresh takes and all of that, because, you know, I don't want you guys to get bored of me. So I make sure to keep it fresh. You know, we got to keep people coming in. We got to keep things interesting around here. And so I'm really, really stoked about how that turned out. The SmackDown pod did some really great views. So I'm very happy. Of course, Tama Tonga making his debut definitely helped. But you guys can check out that show on Fridays too. And then also I might as well promote it now. So on Monday, the following after AEW Dynasty, myself and Reg will be doing an AEW Dynasty post show, but that will be happening on Monday next week. So keep an eye out for that for those of you guys who like AEW on here. And we got, holy cow, a really freaking generous, very generous super chat. My God, this is probably my worst show today. Blame it on the sun, guys. Blame it on the sun. But we got a very generous super chat here. And this is from Shanud Ogu. And I'm totally sorry for messing up your name. He says, thank you for your videos. They truly help get me through the week. If you ever need a co-pilot for an NXT review, it would be an honor. I'm a comedian and a wrestling fan. And HTX, much love. Hey, man, tag me on Twitter because I see stuff more on Twitter just because of the way things are laid out. Tag me with a video of your work or your samples. I like to look at that stuff. I like to see what people are doing in terms of when I bring guests on. It's because I've seen their work already, because obviously you want to bring somebody on that you've seen what they've done, because then if not, you don't want any surprises. And so I always look at people's work and I always look and see who's, you know, going out there and, you know, doing good work. And if it's a fit, then it's a fit and you can come on and do a show. But thank you so much for the kind super chat and for really, really kind super chat. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. We got Chloe Adams here who says, wonder what happened to underrated Valhalla. Oh, I know. Valhalla. So Valhalla was not doing so good over on the main roster, unfortunately. There was some rough matches, and they had her with Maxine too, which was interesting. I was like, oh man, we're doing Maxine and Valhalla? That was interesting. I don't know what's going on with Valhalla, but I can see her going to NXT. That's a name that I can see going over to NXT from main roster if that were to happen, because it just really wasn't, the performance wasn't that strong on Raw. And it stands out because when you have like, when you have some of the very best women's wrestlers doing some of the very best work, like you want to make sure that that division, that everybody in that division is, you know, following suit. And when you're not, it stands out like a sore thumb. And so that was the unfortunate part there for Valhalla. But we'll see. I think the last time we saw Valhalla might have been when she gave the freaking antlers to Michael Cole. And if it's not, that's the last time I remember seeing Valhalla. That's the last time when she gave the antlers to Michael Cole. All right. But yeah, she is a great character, says YouTube fan over here. I agree. And that's why I think like that she should probably shine brighter more so as just like a manager, as a valet, or go over to NXT and just kind of, you know, brush up on some things. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the last two things that we need to talk about. I will go in, start with Josh Briggs versus Ivar since we were talking about Valhalla. This match, Josh Briggs is not at 100% as we know, coming off of that triple threat match from Stand and Deliver. They played into that in this matchup here. So it was not really like a phenomenal match or anything. It was fine. Ivar hits his moonsault on Josh Briggs and gets the win. Not really anything too interesting, but this is basically, again, continuing this whole new thing that we've been seeing when Ivar called out Obafemi. Obafemi was watching this match backstage, and he was saying that he thinks Ivar is interesting. So we're most likely getting that, I'm guessing, at Spring Breakin'. I don't know if they've already announced it, but that's what I'm guessing is going to happen for Spring Breakin'. So this was basically just a match for Ivar to get a match on NXT, and Josh Briggs not being 100% kind of made it easy for Ivar to sort of beat him. And when you're like dealing with your ribs and stuff and everything Josh Briggs was dealing with, and then you have Ivar that weighs how many pounds freaking landing on you from the top rope onto your body. Yeah, bro, that was sick. That was sick, man. But anyway, so that was Josh Briggs and Ivar. There's one last thing that we need to get into in this show, and that is Ilya Dragunov's open challenge. And let me tell you, there was something that I really loved about this, and it was something so simple. So ever since I've been watching wrestling forever, I remember when I was a little girl, I used to always think whenever there was any sort of open challenge, I always thought, how come the entire roster just doesn't come out? How come it's always one person? And that doesn't make sense. Like, we always see all these guys trying to get a shot at the title, and when you finally got the shot, only one guy comes out. That was always something that I thought about as a kid. And so whenever, and they've done this a couple of times, very few times where more than one person will come out to try to get a shot at the title during an open challenge. And they did it here today where they had so many people from the main roster, from the NXT roster come out and try to challenge Ilya Dragunov. And I love that because I'm like, yeah, bro, if you're back there and the champion's like, I got an open challenge, I'm like, move, bitch. I'm trying to get through. I'm trying to get to this freaking matchup. Like, that to me is what I would be doing. Like, that's the real honest to God thing if you're, you know, in this kayfabe story world. That's what you would do. You would want your shot, right? So they did that with the talent, and they had all the NXT run out there. I was dying because Lexus King runs out there, and I think he was one of the first faces that I saw. And he came out there with, like, the most funniest facial reaction. He just had like the biggest smile on his face, like, I'm coming for you. He didn't get the shot. It ended up being Javon Evans. And again, we kind of talked about this at the top of the show, but 19-year-old Javon Evans, man, like I said, I was not expecting to see this match with him and Ilya. Like, this was his second match on NXT, but it felt fresh because it was like they teased. What made it exciting was that they teased a lot of moments where it seemed like he was actually going to pin Ilya, and nobody actually expected that. at all, but they did their best to make you think that there was going to be a shot. And there was also some other moments during this where like Ilya would hit him with some very hard hitting moves where he's taken out other opponents before, and he would hit Evans with it and go for the pin, and he would kick out. And you're like, shit, this little 19-year-old kid out here kicking out to the champ's moves, like that's huge. So I think all of that is what made this match as exciting as it was. And we're always wondering if we're going to see like the what if moment. Wasn't going to happen, but they did a good job at making you at least get excited about the possibility of it happening. So open challenge, so much fun. People really loved it. They shook hands afterwards. Good stuff. It's looking like a good start for this young kid over on NXT. So love it. And yeah, they're calling him Young OG. I love it. All right. So that's where we're at with all of this, everyone. Next week, I will be back again to talk about NXT, and we'll be talking about spring breakin', and the card is looking pretty good. So it should be a fun next 2 weeks of NXT content. And then of course, we're going to be getting pretty soon next week. We're going to be starting to talk about the draft. So that'll be very fun as well. But that, my friends, was NXT here tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming on today to listen to the podcast, to watch the video, listen on the audio, whatever it is that you do. Before I go, if you haven't had the chance yet, guys, and you enjoyed these podcasts, maybe not this one, all the other ones that I did, if you enjoyed all the other ones, not this one, the other ones, you are more than welcome to send a review over on Apple Podcasts. I'm still trying to get some more reviews on there. If you're on Spotify, you can also leave a review on Spotify. That one's only a star rating. So if you just want to do something simple and give a star rating, you can do that on Spotify. If you want to actually leave like a message or anything, you have to download the Apple Podcast app and find the podcast there. And that is how you can leave a star rating along with a message. And I do read them here on the show. So if you guys have time, if you're bored one day with nothing to do and you want to leave a review, please do. It would really mean a whole lot to me. And I do read them here on the show. But that was the NXT review for today, and I will catch you guys tomorrow for the AEW Dynamite post show. Bye, everyone. Take care.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.